This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
Morning, everyone. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to look at one verse right now. Matthew 24 and verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth and the ability to preach and to hear what you have to say in a world that is just swallowed lies, and we can listen to what you've said and hear the truth as you've opened our hearts to hear it. We just pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and just give us understanding. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got a question for you. Have you noticed how dark it's getting? Have you noticed the drought? How it's not. There's no water. How about the famine? Have you noticed that? Well, obviously, I'm not talking about food or rain or daylight savings time or any of that. I'm talking about spiritual things. And there is a parallel between the physical life that we see and the spiritual life. Our spiritual life is getting darker and darker, and nobody seems to know it. And the reason that nobody knows it is because, here it is, they don't know this. Churches have ceased to preach it. And that's not by accident. When we talk about, now, this particular verse that I chose here, generally I don't like to take one verse because, well, you can pull it out of context and make it say whatever you want to. So in context, in the next verse, he says, "For nation shall rise against nation." So what he's talking about, he is talking about physical wars. He's talking about one nation going to war against another nation. But we can learn some things from that, and we can learn about the spiritual war that is going on. Because what we see in the physical war can apply to the spiritual war too. In our country, in the United States, decay and corruption has infested just about every part of the culture. I'm a baby boomer, and in case you don't know what that is, after World War II, everybody came home, was tired of war. There were no 1946 automobiles made because everything went to the war effort. So everybody, sugar was rationed, everything was rationed. So now happy days are here again. Everybody comes home and everybody has babies. And so that's really, I'm part of that time. And I think there was a spiritual awakening from people who had just come out of the Depression, who had known what it was like to be without, and then to see how close they came to a maniac taking over the world. I can remember being in public school and praying, Pledge of Allegiance, thought for the day, and then we prayed in public school. And we didn't go to church, but almost everybody in the class did. And there was none of this transgender nonsense. There was none of this drugs nonsense. There was an obedience. Most of the teachers were retired, older women whose children had left the home, and they loved children and they loved to be around them. And that it wasn't a career. They were doing it because they loved it and they loved children. That's not today. I don't know what's going on in these schools today. It just seems to be a complete cesspool. I can remember on Sunday, Publix would run an ad, and it would show a picture of an empty parking lot with seagulls in it. And it would say, we're closed today to give our employees the opportunity to worship God. And that was the selling point. Everybody was, yay, that's great. We like that. Look at it today. Look at it today. There was no football on Sunday. Sunday was a day where there was no traffic. It was a down day. It was a day that is really meant to be. It was where you reconnected, where you just sat on the front porch and talked about nothing. You just learned. Well, we've come a long way since that. If you look at television programs, for example, they all centered around families, and the family was the biblical family. The biblical family were a father and a mother and children. There was none of this divorced, single mother stuff. There was none of that. Because that was not the norm. It just wasn't. I was listening to a lady that she's a historian. And she was looking at the Greek culture. And here's what she said. I study their art because that's where you can tell where the culture is going. And she said that at the beginning of the older Greek statues and whatever, the men were very manly and very athletic and very manly. But toward the end, they're all wishy-washy and sort of feminized, and there's nothing that they're not men. And this is the decay of the culture. This is the sign of the decay of the culture. I probably don't have to tell you what's going on today. Boys trying to be girls, every kind of wicked depravity there is, and it's being accepted. There are commercials where two men constitutes a family, or two women constitutes a family. It's normal to see a single mother. What's going on with that? Well, we talked about a war, and whether you like it or not, you are in a war. There is not just, you could say, well, I don't see anything out here. Okay, the physical war, and then there's the spiritual war. And just by the fact that you have been born into this world, you are enlisted in this war. Whether you're saved or not, you are in this war. Because this earth is at war with God. And that's just the truth. So you can look at the artifacts of a culture, and you can see just what's going on within the culture. Movies, I think, are a very good gauge of what's going on. If you look at, I like to watch some of the older 1950s, 1940s movies, because they were movies that had a plot and they developed characters, and it had substance to it. It was serious. It was not just a bunch of special effects or whatever. There was a movie called Titanic, and of course there's a new one, but that one's no good. The older one showed, as the people were believing lies about this is an unsinkable ship, they believed those lies, and so they kept dancing and, you know, beer barrel polka, whatever. And then when it became clear and the alarm started sounding and people started getting serious that this is not a joke anymore, then the orchestra was playing Nearer My God to Thee. I think we're still in an era where we're still dancing the beer belly polka. We're not taking seriously what this spiritual war is doing to us. And even if you're saved, you're still in this war. And it can do damage to you. I want to, you know, there's a, I have some quotes here from, this is the Communist Manifesto that was written, 1800s. See if any of this stuff, let me read to you some of the quotations of this. See if any of this sounds familiar with what you're hearing today. The theory of communists may be summed up in a single sentence, the abolition of private property. Just take a look at New York or Los Angeles. They build apartments, high-rises, so that there aren't any private property. Those are run by the communists. There's another one. He says, in one word, you reproach us for intending to do away with your property. Precisely so, that's what we intend. We intend for you to be angry about that, and we intend for you to fight with us. We intend for you to hate one another. That's what we intend. Here's another one. The communists are fully reproached with desiring to abolish countries and nationalities. Look at our southern border. Abolish the globalists. And they're coming out of the woodwork. They're coming out of the woodwork. Here's another one: abolition of the family. That one's been for a long time. That's been, and this is part of the spiritual war that we're not paying attention to. It's just little bite by bite. We throw God out of the schools. We throw God out of the government. We throw God out of the churches. And then what have we got left? So, here's another thing he says. Do you charge us with wanting to stop the exploitation of children by their parents? They say that parents raising children, you're exploiting those children. Because in their view, they belong to the state. No, in God's view, no. They belong to the parents. There's some insulting things. Women, that's another thing. They want to convince women that they are underappreciated or whatever, and that they need to get out into the workplace because the home is too boring. And, you know, so we want all women to have a career. And that does a couple of things. That pushes jobs away from men who no longer can supply the leadership and money for the family. So that's what communism does. Let me see the one that Here's the one that we need to pay attention to. When the ancient world was in its last throes, the ancient religions were overcome by Christianity. When Christian ideas succumbed in the 18th century to rationalistic ideas, feudal society fought its death battle with the then revolutionary bourgeoisie. They used the word bourgeoisie to that's a placeholder for anybody we hate, anybody we want to destroy. And they use the word proletariat for somebody we want to elevate. That's another thing. In high school, I graduated in Florida, and at that time, to graduate from a Florida high school, you had to take a course called Americanism versus Communism, and it was basically a study of this against the Constitution. And that's long gone. And how did that happen? How is it that these ideas? Here it is: abolition of property, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax, abolition of all rights of inheritance, confiscation of all property of immigrants and rebels. Free education for all children in public schools. Abolition of children's factory labor in its present form. It's a taking over and putting man in the place of God. This is part of the spiritual war that we are now a part of. Turn to James chapter 1. Chapter 4. That's what I meant to say. Verse 1. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and cannot have, ye kill and desire to have and cannot attain. Ye fight and war, yet ye cannot, because ye ask not. What that's telling us is that the whole notion of war and what is within us has a spiritual component. So any wars, and look, just look at the temperature of the spiritual world, say in our country, and we don't even care. You know, George Washington insisted that there would be in his army chaplains, and that's why we have chaplains today. It's because George Washington insisted on it, because he knew that there was a spiritual component to going to war. And now it's just, we've got this idea that we can just go with, you know, guns a-blazing and swords a-swinging, and we can just drop bombs and we'll win. But that's not true at all. You asked not. You didn't even ask. And so as a nation, we're depending on a military that cares nothing about God, and that should be something that we need to get on our knees about as people, because we can turn the course of the wars. You know, speaking of George Washington, there has been a Department of War in our military ever since the inception. And it was after World War II they changed it to Department of Defense, because I guess it sounds better. You know, you don't like Department of War. That sounds so warlike. We don't want that. So we say defense. But every branch of the service has a war college. And why is that? Because there is a strategy. You cannot just go out and fight a war. And that's the way it is in the spirit world too. If we think we can just, oh yeah, we're good enough, yeah, we read our Bible, you know, once a week, that's good enough, or we can just be passive about it, you're going to get slaughtered. So we need to know who our enemy is. We need to know what his attack method is. So, turn to Hosea chapter 4. And that's right after the book of Daniel. My people, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. You know, in the military world, we've got all kinds of reconnaissance satellites. We've got all kinds of infiltration to find out knowledge, what's going on in these countries that are enemies. Well, it's the same thing here. If we don't know how Satan works, if we don't study it, if we say, well, you know, I'm a pacifist, I don't want to get into this kind of stuff, he's going to run over you. And that's all there is to it. In this particular verse, he talks about two types of destruction. One is rejecting knowledge. See, when look, there are Bibles. You can buy them just by the truckload. It's out there. The knowledge is there, but no, we reject it. We say, I don't need that. I'm doing fine. How many people have you talked to that say, no, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for telling me. I celebrate Christmas. That's good enough. And then the other one is kind of a passive, I just forgot it. And that's normal. You know, if you don't review, that's why, you know, just doing it once or hearing a sermon on a particular passage just once, that's not enough. You need to continually go over it. So when you read the whole Bible, start over, do it again. Because we have a it's just normal. It's just, it just forgets. And so we do have to keep sharpening our sword here. Turn to 2 Corinthians. What I want to do is kind of just show who our enemy is. I want to sort of highlight what are some of his characteristics and what will he do. So 2 Corinthians 2. And verse 10, I'll put it in context. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage on us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Okay, there's an assumption there that we're not ignorant of his devices. Now, how are we not going to be ignorant of his devices? We've got to study him. We've got to study what he does, and we have enough right here to be able to do that. You don't need to go to a seance or some demonic kind of place to find out what Satan is. And in fact, if you're doing that, you're an idiot. That's not how you find out about Satan. You allow God to tell you. You come through God. Because God doesn't lie, Satan does. Right. We know that he's a murderer and a liar. When we say we're not ignorant, ignorance is not bliss. And to be passive, particularly on how Satan does these things, and the spiritual war that we're in, which you cannot resign from. You cannot go AWOL without some consequences, especially if you're saved, and you say, "Well, I don't want to deal with this anymore." That's not an option. Let's go to Job chapter 1. Because we get a lot of information here about Satan, about the enemy, and about what he can do and what he must do. The first five verses are kind of an introduction to Job. A couple things interesting that I found here is in verse 5, he offered burnt offerings for his children. Now, in those days, now it's not talking to us, we don't offer burnt offerings, but in those days, it was the head of the home. This was before, you know, we had priests and everything, but he would offer these burnt offerings for his children, which should have been doing it in their home. And it's probably because, I'm guessing, he may have known that they were not living for the Lord, that they were not being obedient. But and it says, this, thus did Job continually. Now, verse 6 is really interesting. There was a day when the sons of God, those are angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So Satan has access to heaven. He has access to God at this time. And the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it." Okay, let's turn to, hold your finger there, go to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Oh, this is a good one. If I have time, I'll come back to this one. This is a good from verse 1, 9. That's good. Anyway, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He walketh about. Let's go back to Job. "From walking up and down the earth." Satan walks on this earth. Now, one thing we can get from that is that he can only be in one place at one time. He is not omnipresent as God is. But he does walk on this earth, and we are subject to him. All humanity, any animals, everything, we are subject to him. And we are told he is the God of this world. So he is to be respected. It's not a joke. I get so tired of these commercials and just the world that portrays him as some harmless little lovable dragon or something. I don't know, with, you know, tails and pitchforks and everything. That's not who he is. That's not who he is. And if we start swallowing what the world teaches, we're going to have a distorted view of who this the person of Satan is. And because of that, we're not going to understand. He's going to get an advantage on us. He's going to get the ability to walk in the door. You know, in a physical war, or even in your home, if you leave the doors unlocked or the door wide open at night, what are the chances? Well, depending on where you live, what are the chances somebody's going to walk in and steal everything you have? Now, if you do it every day, yeah, somebody's going to drive by. You know, that door's open. That door's open. That door's open. And yeah, they're going to come in and take something. Well, it's the same thing in the spiritual world. You continually leave a door open. The devil, his demons, one of them is going to walk in. And when they do damage. Even if you're saved, yes, your sins are forgiven and everything, but that doesn't mean that the devil walks away and says, "Well, that's it. I'm defeated." No, he keeps coming back and coming back and coming back, and you continually have to. This, as long as you're on this earth, you're going to be fighting this war. So you might as well get used to it, and you might as well understand that until the Lord Jesus comes back to rule and reign, we're in a war. We're in a war, and there's going to be casualties, as we see in a physical war. Getting back to Job 1. In verse 8, God says, "Hast thou considered my servant?" My servant. And that kind of delineates there are people who are not God's servant. And that is not certainly where we want to be. And there is none like him in the earth. And he escheweth evil. He pushes evil away. The importance of knowing God's word, and not just knowing it, but putting it into practice, that's you will lose the war. In verse 9, you know, Satan says, all right, in the Garden of Eden, Satan asked a question, right? He said, "Has God said?" So here in front of God, he said, does Job fear God for naught? Again, he's asking questions, and, you know, he's a liar. Because even to God, he says in verse 11, "Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." That's a lie. It doesn't matter. He says it anyway. And that's what we get today. We get the lie, more and more lies, and you just say it over and over and over, and then people believe it. You know? Russian collusion. Just keep saying it. Global warming. Just keep saying it. Keep saying it. In the face of contrary evidence, just keep saying it. And people will believe it because we're sheep. And that's not a compliment. That's an insult. Sheep are stupid. And sheep will follow anything. And that's what we are. And so, we desperately need the Word of God. We need to saturate our lives with it as much as possible. A couple of things I wanted to go over. Let's look at John chapter 10 to kind of just. We know he's a liar and a murderer. John 10. And let's see. I'm going to say, all right, let me start at verse 7. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you see the contrast there? It's stark. And, I am the way, the truth. And again, it's stark. This world and the God of this world is nothing but constant lies. And so we need to be, this is the lifeboat. This is like being on the Titanic. This is the lifeboat. It's going down. You better get in the lifeboat, and that's the Word of God. Because that's the only truth that you can rely on, that you can depend on. And even this is being, I saw a website that showed the changes that have been made in the modern translations, and even I was shocked at how much has been crossed out and revised. And it's just, okay, little bit. So we get everybody to accept this. Then down the road, oh, we found a new one. Okay, we take more out of it. And that's the way it works. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So the enemy that we have steals, kills, destroys. But the Lord Jesus offers us life. Notice he doesn't say does have life. He says they might have life. And that's up to you. That's up to you. Do you want life? Do you want that? Or would you rather have the destroying, the killing, the lies? Is that where you want to live? And I think, Christians today are laughed at and mocked. You go to church. But that's a result of the fact that we have totally rejected God as a culture. Finding biblical preaching is really hard. If you've ever moved to another location, you know how hard it is to find a church. It's next to impossible. They're very, very, or you have to drive for 5 hours. It's really, really very, very dark out there. So, and it's not just coming to church. It's really the heart loving the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did and understanding what he did. So I guess my message today is that you're in a war whether you like it or not. You can be a pacifist, you can be against the war, whatever, but you're in it. And it's what you do with it, because you can't change it. So the tools, they're right here. You have the tools. You're given. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit. I can't even tell you the difference between when I got saved. It was like life was in color, as opposed to it was all black and white before. I could see things that I could never see before. And so that's, I think we tend to get sucked into the culture, and we don't realize how wicked it is. But it's when you're under good preaching week after week, and you're subjecting, the mind is where the battle happens. It's what goes into the mind. So, let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you again for your grace and mercy to us, your love, showing us the truth, showing us who we are, and what this world is, and where we are. We just pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know you as Savior, who just knows you as a good man or just a historical figure, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would, that your Spirit would convict them even today. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for providing us the truth. I pray, Lord, that you would protect each and every one here. And we just, again, give you honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us, or write us, or email us in this most important matter, or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.